This morning, we are beginning a new series called Welcome to the Kingdom. So no, this is not a spelling error, although I make those frequently. We are talking about kingdom work rather than kingdom work, because we recognize that God's kingdom is made up of people here and out there. And we recognize that even though we may not be related by blood, even though we may not share the same last name, we do share the fact that God is our Father and that we are all siblings in Christ, that we are a part of the same kingdom, even if we don't look like one another, even if we don't speak like one another, even if we don't have the same background, we are all followers of Jesus Christ. And so over these next several weeks, we'll be exploring all the places in the text, the biblical text, where we are called to be inclusive, how we're called to invite one another, to include one another, and to inspire one another to share the love and grace of Jesus Christ in the world. And so today, we're going to start at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. We're going to be in Luke chapter 4. And if you look at this text, we get in Luke's gospel, he starts off with the nativity story, right? He shares the birth of Jesus in chapters 1 and chapter 2. And then we get this section that talks about, you know, John the Baptist and Jesus' baptism. And then Jesus' ministry really begins. So Jesus starts with that temptation series in the desert, right? You guys know that story where the devil comes and tries to tempt Jesus over and over and over again, and over and over and over again. Jesus rejects that. And then Jesus' ministry begins. Our reading doesn't start quite here, but I'm going to read this little section first. In verse 14, it says, "Then Jesus, who was filled with the power of the Spirit, he returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone." So the first thing Jesus does is he starts his ministry by going out to the people and preaching in the synagogues. And then we come in to our text for this morning. So I invite you, if you have your Bible, to turn to Luke chapter 4. And yes, we will stand for the reading of the gospel. Thank you, Chris, for posturing for us. We're going to be reading Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. It says this: "When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. The beginning of Jesus' ministry begins as him as a preacher. It's kind of a dull, typical event in ancient Jewish synagogue life. And so on the Sabbath, a preacher, not necessarily a rabbi or some other official authority, but the speaker or teller would get up and read the scroll. The preaching style in Jesus' day was that they would read the scroll, and then somebody would talk about what the verses meant, right? something we do today, right? We read a scripture text, and then the preacher says, hey, this is how you can apply it to your life today. And so Jesus was born and grew up, well, in Nazareth, right? Well, he was born in Bethlehem, but, you know, he's from Nazareth. And that's where he was raised by his father, Joseph, who was a carpenter. And so people would have known Jesus, and they knew who he was in that area. And so he got up among his own people to read the scroll. And so it says, on that particular day, one of the leaders handed Jesus the scroll, and he unrolled it. Or he opened his book, right? In those days, they had scrolls that they unrolled. And he reads from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to recovery of the sight of the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He reads these beautiful words from the prophet Isaiah. And then he rolls up the scroll and he hands it back to the attendant and he sits down. And everybody's looking at him, kind of like you all are looking at me right now. And so they wonder, what would he say? What would his interpretation of this text be? Would he address the occupation and the oppression of the empire? Would he talk about how his own ministry was starting to get recognition, right? Because we hear he went to Galilee and people were starting to talk about him. What would Jesus, what would their neighbor, what would somebody from their own community say? And so he could have preached anything, right? He could have talked about, man, guys, this is a beautiful text. That we're going to bring good news to the poor and release the captives and recover the sight to the blind. Man, won't that look great when God's kingdom finally comes, when all that happens? But instead, he says this. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled for your hearing. And the people were shocked. This was his sermon. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled for your hearing. That's it, one sentence. I think you guys would stop paying me, right, if I just said one sentence after I read a text and then sat down. His first word, the first word Jesus preached in the church was today. Today, the scripture is fulfilled. Today, I have been anointed to bring good news to the poor. Today, God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Today, recovery for the sight of the blind will happen. Today, the oppressed will grow free. Today is the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this has been fulfilled. And the people are shocked. They don't know what to do. And so at the beginning, it says, all spoke well of him, and they were amazed. Because he just read the scripture, and he says, today it's been fulfilled. And then, of course, some snarky person in the congregation starts asking some questions, right? Like no one does here. No one ever talks here. And so they start bantering with Jesus a little bit. And he brings up these Old Testament stories that they would have been familiar with. And suddenly their amazement and their happiness with their good old boy that they raised up to preach in their own synagogue, they start to get mad. If you read on, it says this. They got up. And they drove him out of the town. And they led him to the brow of the hill which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through in the midst of them and went on his way. I'm so thankful you are not that angry, right? You would take me and throw me off a cliff, yeah. But their words of joy and amazement quickly turned. They almost became like a mob to take Jesus out and to take him to the edge of the town, and they wanted to hurl him off a cliff because of the words that he had just spoken. They were mad. And so the question is, why? Why did they get so angry? They got up and they drove him out. For Luke, the tension that erupts here and that will erupt again and again and again elsewhere is not simply between Jesus and Judaism or between the synagogue and the church. It's between Judaism and its own scriptures. Because they are offended by Jesus' word that he is going to offer grace even to those that they don't approve of. They're happy when he says he's going to do this and he's going to stay in Nazareth. But then all of a sudden, Jesus says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to preach to the Gentiles too. They're shocked. I'm going to go out and I'm going to bring good news to the poor that aren't just the poor in your community, that aren't just the people who are sitting in the synagogue. I'm going to go out and I'm going to release the captives that you don't like and recover sight to the blind, to the hurting and broken in the world that you look at in disgust. I'm going to include them too. And you know what? They get so mad, they want to hurl him off a cliff. They don't just talk about it, right? They don't just sit in the back in their little Sunday school classroom and have a PPR meeting about how they want to fire their pastor. Right? They don't write the DS just a nasty email and say, man, you need to get this guy out of here. No, they get so mad that they take immediate action and try to pick him up and literally throw him off a cliff. This is why when my DS asked me if I wanted to go to Lexington to preach, I said, absolutely not. Because no preacher is welcome in their hometown, right? No, the people of Lexington are wonderful. I don't think they would do that to me. But Jesus gives this message that he is going to include other people and be in connection with other people, and that makes them mad. Today, the scripture is going to be fulfilled, he says. Not tomorrow, not some idyllic time in the future, not something that we only see in our dreams, but today the work is going to begin. Friends, that's a hard message to hear. We like to sit and dream about the good works that God is going to do. We like to look in fondness on the past and see the wonderful things that God has done. But when we start talking about today, friends, that means we have to go to work. Something many of us do not like to do, right? Today, Jesus says, this is what is going to happen. I'm going to bring good news to the poor, which means getting our hands a little dirty, which means building up a sweat on our brow. It means going out and actually talking to people we don't like or that make us uncomfortable or having hard conversations with people who are different than us. Sometimes it's really hard to be inclusive, but that's the ministry God calls us to. Jesus reads the words of Isaiah. He says, I'm going to bring good news to the poor. What is real and tangible ways in our lives today that we can bring good news to the poor? It's more than just kind words, right? It's also action. Where are the poor struggling? To feed their families? To keep on the lights? To pay the high interest rates that they garner from crazy places that just want to take their money? Trying to figure out how they're going to send their kids to college? Or heck, even send their kids to school with a coat on their back? How can we bring good news to the poor? There are things that we do right here in our local community, right? By giving to our food pantry, by 4Cs, not just selling things, but also giving things to those who are in need. But there's so much more we can do. Jesus says, I was sent to proclaim release to the captives. Who are captive in our society? Maybe those who are addicted, who are held captive by drugs or alcohol. Maybe it's those who are captive of their feelings of worthlessness or depression. Maybe it's bringing rest to sleep-deprived moms, right? Maybe it's releasing those who are wrongly imprisoned by a broken justice system. Maybe it's to bring about a sense of belonging to those who feel alienated or yelled at, especially on social media, right? Not the greatest place to release the captives. Maybe it means forgiving the sinner, forgiving those who have hurt us. Jesus says, I'm going to bring recovery to the sight of the blind, to open their eyes to see the fullness and love of God's grace. I'm going to let the oppressed go free. The overworked, the underappreciated, the last chosen, the unlovely, the despised, the unseen. I'm going to free them. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. That not tomorrow or sometime in the future, but today we have the power to fulfill this good word. To include and to make connections with those who are outside of our hometown, right? All across the land, Jesus travels to bring this message. And this is what we are called to do too. To recognize that the kingdom is not just with those who we are close-knit with, but it includes the poor and the oppressed and the captive and the blind, the hurt and the broken, the unloved, and sometimes even the unlovable. Do you know anyone like that? These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are our kin too. Maybe you feel like one of them. Maybe you feel shut out or broken or yelled at. God welcomes you too, and so do we. We celebrate the kingdom of God today. And I would ask that this week you think about, how do you see the kingdom of God at work in your local community? Celebrate that. Lift it up, because Jesus says today, the scripture is fulfilled. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the fulfillment of scripture in our very midst. But God, sometimes it's really hard to see. Sometimes we feel torn apart and beaten down. But God, you call us to unity with all of our kin. You call us to come together and to proclaim good news, to lift one another up, and to share your love. Today, O God, let us make connection with those who are cast out. And let us include those who have been forgotten. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.